It's panic in China as another developer defaults. The Fed's about to embark on a major policy mistake. And the U.S. economy? Well, it's not looking so hot. All that and more on today's show. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today because we're picking back up on this China story as it gets worse. Now, a lot of Americans, and particularly investors, are focused on the U.S. equity market, and they're not paying attention to what's going on with China. Now, before we get into what the latest issue is and how the situation is getting worse, I want you to understand from a monetary perspective how this event, while we didn't know it was going to be tied to real estate, but how we could have, and we did talk about on this show, how this was going to lead to a dollar shortage. Because what the issue is in China is they are short dollars. They have dollar-denominated loans that companies have taken out to get dollars, and now they have to repay those loans in dollars, and they're short. But how did we know that this was going to happen? Well, you can go all the way back to the pandemic when the United States borrowed a massive amount of money to fund all of its fiscal stimulus spending and all the other things that we did in early 2020. And when we borrowed all of that money, much of it came from our friends overseas who hold dollars and they loaned them to us. And at the time, I said we are sowing the seeds of a foreign and a global dollar liquidity crisis because we're pulling all these dollars out of the foreign markets and they have to get back. They have to get back there. That's how the system works. It's circular. If you pull dollars in, you have to put dollars back. Well, how do dollars, and I want you to think about this, how do dollars get out of the United States? Well, maybe you travel out of the United States and you take dollars with you. You buy goods and services. And what is one of the big issues we're facing right now? Supply chain. And what does that mean? Dollars are not getting back where they need to be. And all of a sudden, it turns out the epicenter of this is China. Let's take a look at the story here. China's developer Modern Land, that is the name of the company, Modern Land, fails to repay a $250 million U.S. dollar bond. They're a green real estate company, and they previously sought to extend the bond's October 25th due date. They knew they didn't have the money, and so they tried to, but apparently it didn't work. In a statement Tuesday, the Beijing-based company attributed the missed payment to an unexpected cash crunch. Now, this is key. This was not expected. Modern Land was not expected to have problems caused by factors including the macroeconomic environment, the real estate industry environment, and the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, remember, we've talked about the lack of confidence that will happen with Chinese consumers who are buying or looking to buy property. When you start seeing developers miss bond payments and default, and you're thinking about buying a property, well, you might think twice about buying from them. Of course, you're also worried that maybe the contagion risk is flowing to other companies that you can't see yet. Let's continue with the story and what happened to their bond prices. Well, they got obliterated, which is not a surprise. And nobody wants to hold this debt because they don't believe these companies will pay. And so many highly indebted Chinese developers that have outstanding U.S. dollar bonds are struggling to adapt to an era of tighter credit and falling home sales. Well, and that's what happens when you're effectively front-running sales and using that money to pay bondholders without a completed unit. A steep sell-off in the market for Chinese junk bonds has made it impossible for some real estate companies to refinance their maturing debt by issuing new dollar bonds, which is exactly what I said would happen here. Is that would you're not just talking about loss of confidence as consumers, now you got it in banks too, and you have investors. Why would they want to give their money to these companies? You don't think you're going to get it back, and that only makes the problem worse. Total contracted sales of China's 100 largest developers fell 36% year over year in September, according to a Chinese data provider. That is a lot. Now we go on to the next story. We see, look, Evergrande is living dead. This story headline from Bloomberg, despite coupon payment. Analysts said stock gained, but their debt woes remain until next year. The situation, this isn't just a one-time, sorry, we missed a payment, we'll get caught up on it. No, this is an ongoing issue, and I'm going to show you that here in a little bit, because if China can't get a hold of this, if Beijing cannot control this, and the only way the country can do it is to directly bail these companies out, and they're probably not going to do that, is this thing has a massive amount of global risk to it that could be the trigger to the next financial crisis, as we've talked about. But you can see these payments. Now, this is what I wanted to share with you about 2020 and how we borrowed all of those dollars from foreign sources, many of them from China, and we didn't give them back because we didn't have a mechanism to give them back. And where did they go? They went into consumer bank accounts and they got trapped there due to QE. And now look, defaults on Chinese offshore bonds have set an annual record, but notice when they went up. The key here is this started last year, my friends. Now let's take a look at here, downgrade spike. And you know, think back to the great financial crisis. Do you remember when all those rating companies started downgrading the banks? Yeah, then liquidity dried up. They couldn't get access to funding and things went bad. Now look at this. Chinese developers again see the most rating cuts in a month as this thing gets off out of hook on this deal. And again, this is what I want you to understand is the mechanisms to bail these companies out are draining fast. And that means more defaults likely to come, less confidence from consumers, and bad things to the global economy. But how about China's economy? Well, their economic data, well, it's been worse than expected since May as things are slowing down. So not only is the real estate market a problem, but China's overall economy is slowing down. And when China slows down as the world's major exporter, well, it eventually flows to the US, the world's largest importer. And there's a lot of leverage. And see, this is where the problems are always happening. It's one thing if they don't have the money, you know, I get that. It's another thing, it turns out, if they're over leveraged and now they've got too many irons in the fire and they can't cover all of their bills no matter what they do. You start getting fire sales of assets and things just spiral out of control. And here you can see Modern Land doesn't even make the list. But here you can see a couple of companies with Evergrande at 100%, Greentown and GZR&F. Those two over 100% leverage, but these companies have some decent leverage to them, and that is a risk because the story just doesn't end here with the Modern Land company missing their payment. There are more, and there are more maturity dates coming in the future for principal and interest payments that need to be made. And the question is, will these companies make them? Because you know this is a big story, and if we look at this piece from Insider Asia. Has some interesting insights because China is the world's second largest economy, as they say, is on the brink of disaster. And what is the issue? Well, they've canceled all initial public offerings since the spring. They fined tech companies. They forcibly shut down for-profit education. And then you start to go on. Is there an ability for them to borrow its way out of this crisis? Of course, they don't think so because they've now got to reflate the real estate bubble without bursting it. When people are losing confidence like crazy. And with housing prices in major cities soaring, what President Xi refers to as a Chinese dream, the idea that even the poorest in the country would take part in the rapid growth and modernization, see, it's out of reach. It's kind of, you know, you've seen the same story kind of here in the US as housing prices go up, fewer people can buy them, but those that own them keep thinking the prices are going to go up indefinitely. And well, if people can't buy, eventually prices reverse. And you see that going on potentially with China as well, who's also facing an energy crisis, and the situation just is getting worse, and this isn't actually helping them. But how about the Fed, who's about to embark on a major mistake? Well, let's first go to the Bank of Canada, who surprised everyone today by maintaining its policy rate and forward guidance, ends its quantitative easing program early, which could be a signal. If 1 week from today, we'll hear from the Fed. Of course, we'll be covering that when it happens. The question is, will the Fed taper as they've been crowing about, or do they back off at the last second? But here, Bank of Canada says, we're going to pull the trigger in QE. And what do they say here? The bank is ending its quantitative easing and moving into the reinvestment phase, during which it will purchase Government of Canada bonds solely to replace maturing bonds. The Fed will do something similar should they actually end their QE program next year, as they've been talking about. But how does that translate to the bond market? Well, you've noticed the background. We've got the racehorses back out on the track because the gap between long and short-term rates are collapsing. Five-year yields down in US, Germany, and United Kingdom on this news as financial conditions start to tighten. And if you follow the bond auctions from the US this week, the two-year note auction met with really strong demand. Today's five-year auction was also met with strong demand. And what is the story? As we talked about on Monday, everybody is so short the U.S. bond market. Remember, when everyone's on one side of the fence, the market goes the other. And that's starting to happen. And what can you glean from what's going on in the bond market? Well, let's take a look at 30-year Treasury yields, which crashed through 2% today and kept on running close somewhere near 1.95%. And what do falling Treasury yields tell you? Well, the answer is the financial conditions are tightening. That is a key. Now, there's a second thing they're telling you about the dollar. When yields go down, it's telling you the bond market is expecting the dollar to weaken and create some sort of easing condition. So you have yields falling that are tightening, and how does it balance out? It needs the dollar to weaken to kind of offset and ease. But what's going on with the dollar? Well, let's take a look at that. Here we head over to the DXY trade weighted dollar, and you can see it's holding right above, or right below 94, and looking at a bottoming pattern to break higher. If you see yields go down, dollar going up, that is your recipe for deflation. Tells you risk off event. Watch out below, because risk assets are in big trouble. And that's what we're talking about with the Fed having their meeting on next Wednesday. What they're preparing to do is start to remove their accommodation. They're still going to be relatively easy, but they're going to back off of it allegedly fairly quickly. We'll find out, of course, next week. But what the bond market is telling you, what the dollar is telling you, is that the situation isn't that good. In fact, the Fed could be making a big mistake, because the U.S. economy, well, it's slowing down. Let's take a look at that. We have manufacturers' durable goods new orders today on a year-over-year basis here in blue. And you can see they're coming down. I've overlaid the consumer price index year-over-year as well. And what you can see is when new orders start to go down, inflation starts to come down with it. So we can already expect a disinflationary pulse. We've seen cases before where new orders were trending down, inflation went up, and then all of a sudden, you see here in 2008 and 9, we actually got outright deflation. And how about we extend that to crude oil? Let's take the same chart with new orders and overlay West Texas Intermediate on a year-over-year basis. And what do we see? The crude oil is validating the slowdown in new orders. And it's telling you the economy is indeed slowing down and that inflation is likely to cool off. And of course, we know that things are going to slow down, because the Atlanta Fed, their GDP now model, which at one point was running around a 6% prediction for the coming quarter, is now running at a 0.2%, saying that the U.S. economy is not just slowing, it's about stalled out. And when you get down in this level, the next direction is an actual contraction, and there's your recession, and you start to put all the pieces of the puzzle together, and it makes sense. What you're seeing in the bond market, what you're seeing with the dollar, what you're seeing in China, what you're seeing in the U.S. economic data is telling you the risk to the economy is to the downside, not the upside. Well, let's take a look at what else we've got here, and how do we know that GDP is headed down? Well, the U.S. trade goods balance total is headed lower. That means the U.S. is importing more than it's exporting, and that is not a recipe for higher GDP growth. That is a recipe for lower GDP growth. Let's take a look at the economic data. So far from this week, home prices up 1% month over month, slowing to 18.9% from 19.2. So still rising, but just at a slower rate. Consumer confidence popped back up, which is a bit surprise to me. I kind of would expect that to head lower. New home sales shot higher to 14% month over month. Before you get too excited, that the year over year is somewhere double digit negative at this point in time. The Richmond Fed Manufacturing Index now gone from contraction last month back into a nice expansion. We're not going to go through the details of that. But that's some good news for the Richland area. Let's move into the Eurozone. We have German consumer climate increasing slightly. French consumer confidence virtually unchanged. And how about into the U.S. day-to-day mortgage applications flat? Remember, you want to look for the case for higher yields and booming housing market. Well, you need mortgage applications to rise. They are trending lower as we speak. And then we have the durable goods. Now, in the durable goods data, there's something I want to point out. is while the headline number came in at minus 0.4%, if you exclude defense spending, it was minus 2%, and that should tell you what's going on with the consumer is not putting out all the demand now. We're seeing defense spending trying to keep this thing up. So not a good sign at all. Just validating the slowdown in the U.S. economy is coming. Excluding food and energy, durable goods, new orders were up 0.4%. And then we have the crude data today, which is still pretty good. I mean, you have to understand we're well below our inventory, our average inventory level. So even with crude rising 4.3 million barrels, no big deal there. Cushing inventories are getting dangerously low. We see gasoline inventories dropping about 2 million barrels and distillate stocks dropping about 432,000 barrels. So again, the whole story here is look for risk off. And if you're concerned about that, well, with your portfolio, be sure to check out Portfolio Shield when you get a chance. I'm sure you'll see there are things you can do to control your risk. And with that, my friends, I appreciate you being fans. As always, thanks for the likes. Thanks for the subscribes. We'll be back on Friday. As always, we'll see you then. I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It's not intended to provide investment or other advice. It should not be construed as a recommendation or solicitation to buy or sell any security, financial instrument, or to participate in any particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.